This podcast and all of its content is not intended to be medical advice and is meant only for general discussion and opinions on topics of interest that may even be highly controversial. Always consult your physician for medical advice.
Welcome to the Soul Mirror Experiences podcast, where we encourage the exploration of our souls, ranging from meditations to discussions with professionals on all things related to whole wellness.
I'm Rhett, your host, along with my co-host, Jack. Yeah, he's a cat.
Coming to you with
cutting-edge topics on spirituality and consciousness.
And some weird-ass stuff.
It might just blow your mind.
Wow, speaking of blowing your mind, that's blowing your nose.
I'm blowing my nose.
Welcome to the Soul Mirror Experiences podcast, everyone. That lovely noise was my dear friend Ashley blowing her nose. Now you're quiet. You should have heard how much she is ripping on me right before this. So I just started recording right in the middle of it.
I will not speak unless spoken to.
Oh no, oh no. We've gone back into the... This is going to be a great podcast today, everyone. I don't know if we'll be able to get through this. Is this going to be a comedy sketch or is we going to talk about some real issues here? But actually, Ashley is a super awesome person with a lot of experience. Actually, do you want to introduce yourself just a little bit?
Sure. My name is Ashley. I use she, her pronouns. And I currently work at the University of Utah doing relationship and sexual violence prevention. And I'm also a Zoomer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Talk. Keep going.
Yeah. I'm Gen Z. But I actually mostly identify as a cusper. Do you know what a cusper is?
Cusper the friendly ghost?
Oh boy. All right. Where do we start? So a cusper is someone that kind of lays on the intersection of two different generations. So I was born in 1997, and generational scholars disagree on the actual cutoff dates for certain generations because it's all totally like socially constructed anyways.
Right.
So I was born in 97, and I feel like I have a little bit of Gen Z and a little bit of millennial, but maybe that's because I want to claim the best of both generations and reject the worst parts of both generations.
Ooh, I like that. That sounds empowering, actually. It sounds like you want to be whoever the hell you want to be.
Yeah.
So we are going to be talking a little bit about these generational thingamabobs. I don't even know what the hell they are, to be honest. That's the truth. But I relate to you because it's like, what the heck, man? What? Like, you're 1 year off and now you're in a whole new generation. How long are the segments? Like 15 years or something? Or 20 years?
I don't know. But what I do know is that you're definitely a boomer.
Oh. Ouch. Okay. Okay. If I'm a boomer... I mean, I do like black and white TVs. Is that what a boomer is? Just
kidding. No, you're Gen X. You're 80
I am a Gen X. I'm 89.
Okay.
Or 95. I'm class of 95.
High school or college?
High school. And we're not going to talk about it anymore, but I'm Generation X. Okay, so let's keep going. And you are a cusper.
I've heard
intergenerational.
Yeah, I've heard some people say that I'm Gen Z and some people say I'm a millennial.
I see. So. But like a true millennial, you say, no, I'm going to be whatever I want to be.
Exactly.
I like that.
My own path.
Okay, you know what's interesting though? Because along with, sorry, that was...
You're doing great.
Loud computer crap going on here. So here's what I think about it though. When I think about humanity and about, good hell, let me mute that. Sorry, everyone.
You'll probably just cut that out.
I probably will just cut that
out.
Or
is this raw, unedited?
It's actually live right now.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Are you actually streaming on Twitch?
I am, actually. That's why I'm gaming at the same time. I can pay attention, I promise. Okay, so I do think it's interesting, though, to see how our mindsets do change over time. And I know that with the generational thingamabobs, whatever those are, you know, there's like different things that are going on socially at the time and all these other things, but it is pretty amazing to me to see how just, well, we have an article here, actually.
Yeah.
Would you like to read the header on that? Because
it's
it is pretty interesting.
Gen Z and millennials would rather be jobless than work for a company they don't like. Workplace diversity and flexibility are also a must. And when you sent this to me, I was like, that's 100% true.
Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Okay. And in the last podcast, actually, we had talked about how, you know, why is there a 40-hour work week?
Oh, it's bullshit.
It is bullshit.
It honestly is, because our productivity as like a country has actually gone down, even though we remain the same. Like our productivity and innovation. If you look at the Industrial Revolution versus now, we are advancing at a significantly slower pace. And of course, you can attribute that partly to, like, you know, we've made a lot of technological advancements and maybe we're leveling out, but I think the 40-hour work week is completely unnecessary.
I agree. I mean, I don't know why we don't just make it a 50-hour work week. We could get so much more done. Well, maybe 60 hours we could get that done.
Skirt.
Sorry, I'm a boomer. I'm not a boomer, okay? Damn it. I'm a Gen... What's after boomer?
X.
Yeah, I'm a Gen X, okay? I watched
X-Files.
I
don't know. Anything before the 90s, irrelevant to
Ooh.
Me.
Ooh. Did you hear that, people?
That's the Gen X, the
did
Gen
Z-er
in me.
Did you hear that? Ooh. Oh. Gen Z, by the way, is the last letter in the alphabet.
Yeah, and who's the child?
Okay, so what were we just talking about? oh, yes.
Gen Z, millennials.
Okay, so there is a huge change. I think COVID also made a big difference with people realizing that, I mean, literally, when suddenly people are pulled out of the workplace and that whole, you know, dynamic that we've been living in of efficiency, all of a sudden people have a lot of time to sit around and be like, what the hell, man? Like, what is going on in my life? We get all existential and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been... wait.
Always. Every day.
I know. That's like part of your generation.
But along with COVID, I think it's also like my generation's really strong use of social media, because we can compare our lives and see the possibilities. Like, they're literally... people my age making so much more money than I am making TikToks, and well, people younger than I am.
That's true. So everyone check out Ashley's OnlyFans. What is it?
Oh, Asian Persuasion.
Oh, well, let's look it up right now. I know, it's pretty amazing though, the power of just connecting now. Like, just connecting, you can make so much money, and by having following. So what are some of the things you've seen then with regards to that?
I just think in healthy and unhealthy ways, like comparison being really present in people's lives. And we know that, you know, there are studies that show that like a significant use of social media also correlates with higher rates of depression and anxiety. And I think part of that is because we're comparing our lives to everyone else around us. So the benefit of that is that we can see all the possibilities of what our life could be like, of the different jobs we could have. We can see influencers that, you know, either freelance work or remote work and get to travel the world. But then it's also like, wow, I'm a piece of shit. I'm not doing anything with my life. I sit in an office from 9 to 5. So I kind of see both sides of it. Yeah. Of it being a really positive and negative force.
Yeah, that's true. It also, for me, I think this whole movement is sort of like questioning, you know, I often talk about on this podcast, like, okay, there's a singular self and then there's the universal self. And so I'm always, and the singular self is just our individual self that you look in the mirror every day and see. The universal self is more all of us connected. And so I think part of this movement is realizing, because we're looking at how we're all connected to each other, and we're finally asking the questions. For instance, who's happy with a 40-hour work week? Well, it's the people who you work for. Of course they want that. And so that's what puts this dynamic of if you're not efficient and you're not a good worker if you don't just buckle up and do your 40-hour work week. Mm-hmm. And that, just that thought process can really control the masses. So just by questioning everything and really thinking, what kind of a life do we want to live? I honestly think that's what the latest generations are really good at. I mean, me, I'm a XYZ linear. That's what I call it.
You just want to pave your own path in life.
I do.
That's very you.
It's like, I'm a zipper. That's what I call it. XYZ millennial. And see, in true millennial fashion now, Ashley's on her phone right now.
Okay, it's because TikToks. I'm trying to pull up something that this conversation is reminding me of.
Okay.
Because, hold on, give me a second to find it.
That's totally fine.
It's honestly hilarious. I knew you were going to say something about it.
Okay. I'll keep talking. But I do, I kind of feel like we're all on this same wave. Like, we're all feeling this type of thing. Now, if you are out there and you are, let's say a business owner, let's say you're if you're someone out there that's making 2 million or more a year, or let's just say 1 million. Hell, let's say you're making 500,000 or more. I want you to actually question and think in your mind, you know, all the extra resources, what you can use it with, what you can use it for, what extra meaning you can build into your life with that. There does come a point where I feel like extra wealth really doesn't do anything more. It's like, it's almost like all the extra wealth is just going to make us just look into the wealth creation and stop connecting to people, stop connecting to our lives, to our souls, to Mother Earth and nature, all these kind of things. So anyway, that's
a really good point. That resonates.
Awesome.
So my brother, I would say is probably more millennial than Gen Z, at least in his soul. So he is 2.5 years older than me. So he's going to be 28 this year. And he studied economics at Princeton, got his degree, and went and worked at a consulting firm in Washington, D.C. And then after maybe 2 or 3 years, he took a new job in New York City at a bank. And then my
investment bank?
He's not that corrupt. So my family is all Asian. So my mom is from Taiwan, and both her mom and dad are from Taiwan, and they still live there, and they have very, very old school values. They are true boomers.
So that's from China. Just kidding. Oh,
crickets. Okay. So when my mom told my grandpa that my brother Elliot got a new job after only 2 or 3 years, they asked if he got fired from his job. And she said that they're just from a different era in which people don't change jobs. So my brother responded, well, for my next job on the manufacturing line at the Ford Motor Company, I'll make sure to stay on for at least 30 years so I can get unceremoniously fired with no severance. And honestly, obviously that's a joke, but I think it's so, so true. It's like older generations stay in jobs for so much longer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I can't speak for them, but like saw it as a means to live. Mm-hmm. And my generation, partly because of the privilege we have in a lot of ways, won't take shit from our employers. So we seek out more fulfilling opportunities from the work that we're doing.
Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes you hear this, you're like, oh, you guys are being blah, 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 baby, blah, blah. But you know what? I mean, like, what the hell? Like, where does that stupid voice come from? Honestly, mm-hmm. Like, in my opinion, absolutely right. Like, what's wrong with ever wanting the best life that you can have and the best thing that you, I mean, so I actually can't stand the voice that whenever there's a voice that says, oh, you're being ungrateful for something. It's like, I mean, gratitude is a huge and important thing. And so I do believe that. But I also believe it's really disempowering to just point at someone else and say, oh, you're trying to have a better life. No, you're being label, whatever right. It is. I think that's ridiculous. So, I mean, I might quit working for Chevrolet. I have been working there for 80 years now. But I hope my
That's why I said you're a boomer.
Is that actually, what's before a boomer? I think I'm that.
Dust, honestly.
I'm a duster. I still remember the Great Depression.
But I think about, so some of my best friends in grad school, there's a group of 6 of us. And last semester was our first semester working our full-time jobs. And 3 of the 6 of us decided to move on to a different job within the past like 6 or so months. And I internalize a lot of what you're saying because I was like, oh my gosh, we just finished our degree. This doesn't look good on a resume to leave a job so quickly. Like, what are they doing? And here I am, not even a full year into my first full-time job out of grad school, and I'm about to leave without having, again, completed a full year. And when I read this article about, you know, we'd rather be jobless than work for a company that we don't like. You know, I'm not here to speak ill on the company that I work for. There are a lot of things that I do love about my job. And at the same time, I don't have another job lined up. And I, again, I know that comes with a lot of privilege, but just within my small group of friends, I was so impressed that all of us were willing to make that leap because our values and our value of ourself is greater than the cogs in the machine that we are.
Okay. And I really love that because this is what I think actually brings about change anyways. When we value ourselves, that is how we change it. I mean, it takes more people to literally just live the way you want to live and stick true to your values instead of worshiping the dollar, because we prove it day in and day out in this world that we worship the dollar. And so how do we change that? Literally, stop worshiping the dollar. Mm-hmm. Start worshiping, worship me. How about that? Hmm. I like that. That'll, no. But really, truthfully, yeah, find that value inside yourself and be brave to stick it out. So tell me of some of the thought processes that you have for values and what you're thinking about doing then, or what, I don't know, a little bit on your journey in that regard.
Yeah, so I am currently interviewing for a job in Singapore. And it is, I'll be straight up honest, it is not my dream job with regards to purposefulness in the work. The job that I have right now, that's my most purposeful work, is relationship and sexual violence prevention. What I would be doing in Singapore is still higher education and student affairs, but it's also in fucking Singapore. So, you know, one of my values is traveling and being able to see the world, and family. And I have a lot of family over in Asia, especially Malaysia, Singapore area. So, you know, a huge part of why I am so seriously wanting this job is for reasons that are honestly not the work itself. And I don't know if any time an employer hires an employee, they think they are getting, you know, someone who's ready to lay down their life for a company. But I think that's just not realistic if that is what people think. So that's my honest truth is that, and it's a 3-year contract, so it's a commitment.
Yeah.
But it's also something that would bring me closer to a lot of the things that I want in my life, getting closer with family that I didn't get to see a lot growing up, being able to travel. I mean, the accessibility to Indonesia and Vietnam and Thailand is incredible. So, yeah.
That is really cool. No, I admire that. And I think it's exciting. And I think if people can hear more of that, it gives people the strength to like trust your heart and trust your gut. It's always worth trusting your heart and trusting your gut on things. So, and that's a big move on authenticity. You know, in this podcast, we're always talking about authenticity and how cool that is and how empowering it is, but I really think it is. And so I think even just that as an example gives a lot of people strength to say, hey, okay, wait, maybe I can believe in myself and not, because there's always that voice that's like, oh, you're being irresponsible, or that's not the, you know, there's this finger wagging in your face, like, you know, getting what you want in life. No, that's not irresponsible. So, you know, think about it. You need to make money. That's what you hear all the time.
Right. So, especially from Asian immigrant parents.
Ooh.
And having to resist that was difficult. I remember when I started undergraduate at the University of Missouri, I was studying journalism because it's one of the top journalism schools in the world. And what my dad said to me was, fine, you can go to the University of Missouri as long as you promise not to change your major. Because he thought going to University of Missouri for anything else would have been a waste of a degree. So it's hard to get even just one, two generations up from my own to have such a different outlook on job and careers.
So, and then just think, wow, that is really true. So these things are cultural. These voices are parental, you know, it's in our DNA even, I think. So all the change that's happening, that's a huge point, actually, especially that's true. Asian culture is very much, you know, become a lawyer or a doctor or something, right? It's like, and prestige. What do you think about this whole prestige thing?
I think it's a really great way to purposelessness.
Ooh.
Purposelessness.
Purposelessness.
Yes. Don't know if I've ever said that word out loud.
I've honestly, that word itself is just sounds like it. Ugh.
Yeah.
It's like, it's like purposelessness really is a great word because it's what we do with our lives. We make all these big, long, complicated things that don't even mean anything, just like purposelessness.
Yeah. I just, like, you spend, if you do spend 40 and a lot of prestigious positions, you spend more than 40 hours a week. Mm-hmm. If you're going to spend that much of your life doing something, I'll speak for myself, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I am not motivated enough by prestige or money or what people think of me to be able to sustain that. And no judgment on people that do. Like, we all make our own decisions and get by in life some way. I just know for myself, that is unsustainable.
Yeah. Well, I agree with you. It's unsustainable. I actually know, I had a classmate back when I got my MBA in finance. And, you know, he got offered to go to an investment bank. And I remember just hearing, you know, like, you're preparing. He didn't accept that. He actually chose something else, and which he's happy he did with his other choice. But I remember just, you know, you go there. The job was going to be six figures starting, right? So it's probably like $170,000 a year starting even. And but the hours, that's not even just a 40-hour. It's like you live in that building and you know, you're doing deals. And plus, here's the thing. Finance is, there's so much. I know I'm an MBA in finance, and here I am. Like, there's so much about finance that drives me nuts, honestly. There's some good things about it, and planning and capital managing things and making projects happen. Great. But warping money just to kind of get value out of it where someone else is going to lose value out of it, pretty, you know, I don't know. It's ridiculous to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a friend, actually I have multiple friends that are my age, so 24, 25, and are working in investment banking, no joke, working 80 to 100 hours a week.
Yeah.
And their rationale is, you know, I'll grind like this for a few years and then I'll have a lot of money to enjoy mm-hmm. my life. And again, maybe that works for some people. I like to have my happiness a little bit more spread out. I couldn't be miserable for 3 years, 3 to 5 years, and then... And by doing that, put my happiness on hold mm-hmm. Because that is such a priority for me. But I have noticed that is commonplace in a lot of professions.
Yeah, it definitely is. Because it's like, hey, if you're making all this money, you know, do you deserve it? I think that's the biggest thing that bugs me about it. I'm fine if someone wants to bust their ass off and just whatever and do something. Okay, that's cool. What I don't like is it's built into it that, like, oh, if you want to be worth all this money, you better work your ass off. So it's like, why aren't we all worth infinity anyways? Like, we're all humans that are like boundless souls with amazing potential. Why don't we think that way? We don't. We just think your value is based on productivity. So get your ass in there and, you know, it's just, that's what I don't like about it.
Yeah. And I think something that I wrote down when I was reading this article, so it says, almost half of Gen Z and millennials would rather be unemployed than unhappy in a job, according to a new study. And what I believe to be part of this is just like a resistance of neoliberal and capitalistic ideals that have driven our society for not only many, many hundreds of years, but too long. So it's this idea that efficiency and profit come before all else. And I think my generation is really resisting that. Like, we joke about being a rat in the rat race. We joke about being a cog in the machine, because honestly, that's how some employers are trying to treat us, and we won't have it.
It's beautiful. Hell no. I'm gonna stand there with my sign too. You know.
No, you're the enemy. You're the employer.
Well, I'm going to, I told you I'd pay $10 for this podcast. Okay.
That's a lie.
Okay. Fine. $12. Listen to these complainers, man.
Inflation.
I give you an opportunity. I give you $12 for, and it's not even an hour probably. I just can't believe you're complaining about this. And I gave you, cauliflower.
Yeah, you did steam some vegetables for me.
I steamed some vegetables. I mean, gosh.
That was actually more a job on my part than anything else.
You had
did not season that shit.
So, yeah, okay.
He steamed it and called it.
You know, in my day, we didn't have salt and pepper, okay? That's a new thing of your generation, okay? Okay, so we're getting down. We are solving all the problems in life right now. Okay, I want to know what you think about. So, to me, capitalism is the best thing we got right now. But I mean, it's changing. I do think it's not the best thing there is, for damn sure. I don't think so. But I mean, it still, to me, beats out communism and like Marxism and socialism and stuff. But I don't know. Can you envision something that will change? What do you think about that?
I think a mixed market economy is the best form to contribute to a thriving, innovative, yet humanistic society. I don't think those values are necessarily mutually exclusive, but I think that there are values from socialism that we need to draw. There are values from capitalism that we need to draw in, and mixing those together, which is maybe a cop-out answer, but like when it comes down to it, we are living in such a binary world where things are only good and only bad, and we are really bad at embracing the in-between.
I so agree, like millions of times over. So something like capitalism, because that's what we're doing. You want to be a cusper, I want to be a XYZ zipper, zipperlennial, and we want socialism, right?
Okay.
Why not? Like, who cares? Who's telling me we can only have one or the other? Actually, I totally agree with you. I agree. There needs to be some hybrid system that we naturally evolve into. How do we take care of? I mean, are you excited about Meta and the big computer thing? Is that the most exciting thing ever?
Not even remotely, but I bet for some people in my generation it is.
Yeah. It's so weird to me because it's like, oh, thank you, Facebook, for making a thing we can stick on our heads and meet together. It's like, I don't know, man. Like, I have a, what is that thing called? Virtual reality headset for some games. And yeah, it's kind of fun. It's fun. But like, dude, I can't imagine living in that thing.
Yeah.
Like, imagine we're doing this podcast and I'm like looking at a computer you and we're like, oh, hello. Here we are in this virtual. I don't know, man.
Yeah, that's not my jam.
And what do you think about giant corporations?
Which one?
All of them. I don't know. Pick one. How about Pfizer? Oh.
Oh, boy. Like? We're not getting into
this. Yeah,
let's
talk about
this. No, we are not getting into
this. You love Pfizer. It's okay. It's okay.
I'm going to redirect the conversation now
okay.
to talk about what employers need to start doing if they want to stay competitive in this marketplace. Because right now, in this economy, because of COVID, because of the Russian and Ukraine war, because of a lot of different factors, it is an employee market. Literally, almost every business I go into around Salt Lake, they have signs that say hiring, start tomorrow. Like, they are desperate for people to work. And I think a part of it is that, you know, people are talking. And you can go on Glassdoor and you could easily see, oh, they suck at management or they don't give good feedback or anything like that. So this article says that if employers don't start tailoring the positions to fit the demands of Gen Z and millennials, they could face an employee shortage. And so I'm going to speak to all the capitalists right now and say,
are you listening?
Listen up,
Zuckerberg.
If you want to stay stuck in the past, that is bad news for your bottom dollar. That is just bad news. And you are not going to be able to sustain yourself with this up-and-coming workforce that is innovative and fun and intelligent and hardworking and all of these things if you do not adapt. And I don't think that means, you know, dropping expectations. I don't think it means, you know, expecting less. I think that it just requires some flexibility, requires some new thinking. And yeah.
Okay. I hope you're listening, Zuckerberg. Seriously, pay attention, man. You want your Meta to survive? Like, come on, man. Get with it. That's really good. That's really, I like that. That is some really great words of advice. Okay, so there's a couple things here. You know, I do believe that capitalism is better than anything we've had in the past, but I also believe that we can still evolve into something that's even better than capitalism into the future. So, you know, when you hear about millennials and Gen Z, you may hear people talking about and saying, oh yeah, well, they're spoiled. They don't know what work is, you know. Now, I want you to actually ask yourself, where is that voice coming from? So if it's coming from your experience and you're saying these things, what makes you think that? Because everything I see is the newer generations standing up to things that aren't necessary anyways. So for example, if you might be saying that about what's being said today, you might just question yourself and say, well, why am I so resentful of this? Are you one of those people out there that works a 40-hour week? And so you're like, oh, please, everyone works a 40-hour week. Like, we have to do this. Or would you actually prefer to not work a 40-hour week? And you're just kind of mad that someone else might be not having to do that. Okay, along with that, I mean, Ashley, you've admitted about privilege and having a little bit extra to be able to do this, because not everyone is in this position. Some people literally just, you know, are stuck. How are we going to change the system? Well, it takes people that have a little privilege to change the system, to be able to stand up and say, you know, I don't need this, so I'm not going to take it. So the way I look at it, this movement is actually supporting everybody because it's making a better workplace for everybody. No one has to work their butt off for 50 years straight and be rewarded with pennies while all the people at the top literally have millions and millions of dollars, unless you really think that's necessary. So again, where does that voice come from? Think about it. The voice that's going to make you feel guilty or ashamed if you don't work 40 hours and if you're not good enough if you do this, well, that's coming from the people who really love you to work 40 hours for them. Again. So, you know, when I read this article, it says that 2 in 5 Gen Zers and millennials said they'd take a lower paying salary if it meant they were purposefully contributing to society. So here we are, we're changing the value dynamics. That's actually really powerful and empowering change, in my opinion. 46% of millennials, almost half of millennials and Gen Zers said they wouldn't work for a company that didn't make diversity a priority. Diversity is great. That actually connects us more as humans. So this movement, if it changes employers to have to tailor positions to fit these demands, does that not make your life better as well? Like, is it necessarily something that we can complain about all these babies just whining? Or is it more like, hey, you know what? They have privilege. They know they have privilege. They understand that. And they're actually fighting for a cause so that that privilege can be used to actually change the value proposition of this company away from just money towards meaningful work, experiences, life, away from the dollar and more towards connection and humanity. That's the way I look at this movement. And, you know, there's enough room in the system. That's what's hard about this, is if we go too far down this capitalism, and I hope we're not already, like, I don't want to ever say we're too far, because that just, like, yeah, just give up. No. But, like, because we built such efficiency into this, it's, like, it's even harder for a company now to, you know, it's, like, if you're already running on shoestrings, I don't know. To me, any company out there that's surviving, it's making shitloads. Come on, let's be honest. There's a ton of extra stuff in a lot of these companies. You don't have to. Do you really need another million? I mean, do you need to buy another yacht? Is that really the greatest thing? Or can you just make your employees happier and make it a place where they can thrive and they can be a part of things? They don't have to work 40-hour weeks. I totally agree with you. Everyone in a 40-hour work week works about 6 hours a day, and then the last few hours they're just like looking at the clock and like just, I don't know, tapping around,
totally
pretending to work and shit,
twiddling their thumbs.
Yeah,
totally.
We could be way more productive. Real productivity to me is when you're excited, you get stuff done, you get to go and do what you want to do now, and you're not like worrying about putting food on your table.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we've solved that problem. Gosh, like, vote for Ashley. You know, are you gonna run for like president or anything?
You literally cannot pay me Singapore? Enough money.
We know that, but what if we paid you enough, not in money, but in connection and love?
Oh, I have ample connection and love in
Damn
my
it.
Life.
See,
do
you
know
can't,
why?
You can't trick these people. Yes.
Because I prioritize my happiness.
Dude, did you hear that, everyone? I hope everyone's listening. You know, no offer on the table can ever replace the offer you can offer yourself.
That's deep, bro.
It is. because it is truly an everlasting spring from within.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
You just pat yourself on the back.
I tried to. Jack, what do you think? Oh, he opened his eyes. Jack, what do you think? That means he likes it. Jack is the producer of the show, as everyone knows, and so we just want to shout out to all the cats who are listening out there. How about this? What advice would you give someone who's out there? They don't have a lot of money, okay, and they're right now, you know, paycheck to paycheck, miserable. They hate their company they're working for. How can we help this? How can we support this in some way? What is the way?
I think my heart wants to say, don't let your dreams be dreams. Go out and quit that job and live your very best life. And I know that's not realistic or feasible advice for everyone. And it really comes from a place of privilege to be able to leave a job without anything lined up or even think about leaving a job, period. So I don't know. That's really hard. I think that, you know, there's a lot of resources and a lot of help out there. And that's a good place to start. Like, I think about our local library has lots of different services for folks who are trying to make any kind of transition in life. So I guess my biggest piece of advice is that you don't have to do it alone. Seek out those who love you, who want to mentor you, who have advice to share. Reach out to people who do the work that you want to be doing. That can be really insightful. But don't be complacent. I think that is such a dangerous place to be in. And you will find yourself 40 years later doing the job that you never wanted to be doing in the first place and have felt like you wasted the last 40 years of your life. And that's probably one of my deepest fears. So I would say, don't let your dreams be dreams and ask for help.
Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, otherwise you'll end up like me. I'm just still doing this podcast. Like, pff, the hell? Don't give up on your dreams. Okay, how about what would you say to people who are the business owners?
Fuck you. No, I'm kidding. please edit that out.
No, it's not. This is live.
I would say that with this upcoming generation, Gen Z, millennials, they really care about their happiness and their health and their lives outside of work. So you need to care about those things too. See your employees first as humans and second as employees.
Can I interject? Not interject, but add to that. Another thing is, if you are a business owner, how about see that there might be value in valuing those same things in your life? Like, in other words, because I know there are people out there who just, it's just, you know, the money's coming in and that's it. And then they want to do this and make another company and they buy another company, whatever. Not that there's anything bad with starting companies. I like starting companies. I do that. But what about if a business owner can change their value to also value connections and life and a way of living and realize that, you know, I mean, let's say you're a small business owner, and I don't know, again, these numbers, I'm just throwing numbers out there. This isn't like, whatever, some kind of science or something. But let's say you're making $300,000 a year. Now, that's a lot compared to other people. It also is kind of not a lot compared to other people too. I mean, in some ways, you could be making $300,000 and you're like, I don't know. I still, you know, I mean, it's easy to still find scarcity even though you're making $300,000. And I know it's hard for some people to hear. If you're out there making like $40,000 and you're just like, what? How can someone have $300,000? I promise you, there are people making $300,000 that it's like, I don't know, we still got to save here and do that. The point is, though, if you are making $300,000, you know, you can really, I'm saying there is a point where your needs are being met. You know, there's no real, it's not like you're struggling, even though you may feel that because there's some financial things you're juggling. But I'd say if you're in that zone, if you can start valuing other things more than money and realize that that's probably plenty, honestly. You know, you look at the wealth disparity in this world. I mean, goodness. It that also helps change things, I think. If anyone's just making a little over what the average is, I mean, hell, even if you're just making like $150,000 a year, there's ways you can still live your life in a different way and just value your time more than your money. Even though once you get to that point, it's kind of like the drive. It's like, oh, I made 150. I can make more. I can do more. You know, I know that temptation is there.
Totally.
But you don't, do you have to? Is that really going to bring the best value into your life? And look at how we're all connected. So there is something really powerful about just kind of letting go of some things and realizing that having this wealth, and when I say wealth, it's not just money, it's interconnectedness. It's like caring about each other, valuing that brings the real power back into our world. I look at the world and I see, like you said, black and white thinking. People are fighting everywhere. People are finding a reason to just hate each other. I don't know. I don't know why, but there is something doing that. And our true power, the true currency of life to me, is connection. And that trumps out money every time. I just said Trump.
Oof.
Is that your favorite president?
Well, aside from that, I totally agree with what you said.
Why are you wearing that Make America Great
Again hat right now? All right. We're going to clarify for the record that I am not. But what I think about what you're saying is, like, I really value being able to travel and, like, spending time with people I love. So if I'm offered this job in Singapore, I don't even intend on negotiating my salary. I intend on negotiating my vacation days. Ooh. Because I want to be able to have time to live my life and not see it all pass me by.
That is awesome.
Eat the rich.
Eat the rich and spit them out. Well, I'm excited to hear more about it. We should update the listeners too on how things go if you want to. And you can send pictures of all the fun things you're doing in Singapore. When do you think this is going to take place, by the way?
My interview's tonight at midnight.
Oh my goodness. Tonight at literally tonight at midnight, it all goes down. Everyone send good vibes out. That's really cool.
Thank you.
That's exciting. And then if it's accepted, it's just like the sun's like right in my eyes. This is ridiculous. Anyway, when could it boom?
Probably this summer.
Wow.
Okay. But we'll see. I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch.
It's true. Right.
Yeah.
It's just one possibility of many, but you're following your heart, and that's the important thing.
Exactly.
That's what's really cool.
Exactly.
Love it. Also, you're really into art and doing things. Actually, Ashley taught me how to do water painting, which I'm really grateful for, or watercoloring, because that's another thing that I think, just like expressing and doing art or getting out into nature, I'm amazed at how powerful that is. I mean, and how valuable that is. So things like that.
Make time for those creative outlets, all those hobbies.
Absolutely. Is there anything else you want to solve? Because when you come on this podcast, you have the opportunity to solve all the world's problems, like just like that.
Uh-huh.
So is there anything that's on your mind? You know, I mean, I know there's the jealousy of previous Generation X and stuff and how cool
obviously
Gen X's are. But
and your unceremonious firings without severance. So jealous.
Don't say
of that.
Me. I don't do that. Okay. I'm a Gen XYZ millennial. So
I can't think of any other problems. I feel like we solved a big one today. And we did. There's many more days ahead to solve many more problems, but today we will just be.
Okay. Spoken Zen fashion. Z. Gen Z. Okay. Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And really a great discussion. So everyone out there, empower yourselves with authenticity, and we'll talk to you at the next show. All right, everybody, head on over to soulmirrorjournal.com. and get a copy of your Soul Mirror Journal. It comes with a companion guide with a lot of journaling exercises that cover some of these things, and also a lot of awesome tools for how you can use your journal to learn more about yourself. Head on over to soulmirrorjournal.com, or if you still have the old soulmirror.health, that will work as well.